You are listening to the Health Hack Podcast, powered by Lumen and hosted by myself, Caroline Pierce. As an athlete, sports scientist, and sports presenter, I am passionate about health and how we can unlock the skills to hack our full potential. Each episode, I'll be joined by a leader in the health and well-being world to learn how they've come to understand their body and turned that knowledge into power that could help you too. Today's guest has over 20 years experience coaching athletes, actors and musicians, and his celebrity clients include Hugh Jackman, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds, to name just a few. He's the advisor to Men's Health magazine and he's graced the cover of many magazines too. I am very excited to welcome Don Saldino to the show. Don, how are you doing out there?
Caroline, you're a rock star. Thank you. It's great to be on. Super excited. Thank you.
No, pleasure. And I think you're in your gym at the moment, right? You East Coast?
I'm East Coast. So I own several gyms in New York City for about 15 years. And then I opened a little facility in my backyard called The Barn. So we've got two floors. We've got about 2,000 square feet. And we just shoot a lot of content out of here. And it's been awesome. It's been fun.
Amazing. No, I've seen so much of your fantastic content. And we're going to get into all your health hacks and tips as we go through the show. But you've really done it all when it comes to the fitness world and fitness entrepreneur and coach. And where did it all start? What got you into this industry?
Oh my God. I mean, we could back up. I mean, I think I probably found a little of this in the second grade, which sounds weird. Again, dealing with a stuttering problem at the time, a hearing issue, and then finding this level of confidence and significance through sports. And then, you know, being influenced by a few people on magazine covers. But I grew up in a family business, right? We were in the catering business. And I started working at a very young age, before it would be legal to even work. And, but started from the ground up, cleaning toilets and bathrooms and waitering and busing and learning how to fix stoves and laying asphalt in a parking lot and stuff that they were just, you know, my family was just like, you got to figure this out. I remember one time my grandfather made me empty his pool, clean his pool, and then fill it back up. I was 17 years old. I'm like, I've never cleaned a pool in my life. So I think there was this combination of love for nutrition and fitness, looking strong, feeling strong, but also with this level of, you know, being an entrepreneur and business and understanding that, you know, the more you put into it, the more you can get out of this. And I think that's kind of how I combine things. When I became a professional coach back in 99, it was never with the idea, well, I'm going to be coaching, you know, doing this, you know, when I'm 50, 60 years old. It was like, oh, I'm going to go into business. I'm going to open a gym. And what has transpired from that has been anything beyond I could have imagined. We didn't know about social media back then. We didn't know about the digital business back then. I mean, starting and selling digital companies and going into you know, the businesses I went into back in 99, you weren't even thinking about that.
Crazy. So it sounds like that business mindset was sort of ingrained in you from a young age. And you are more than a personal trainer, you know, what you've gone on to build. And I guess a question I'd be interested in is, what's the most satisfying part of what you do? Because we hear you work with these celebrities and it sounds very glamorous. And I'm sure, you know, you work with some incredible people. But what would you say is the most rewarding part of your job?
You know, it's become really fun. I mean, I thought, you know, at one point, the dream was owning gyms, and I got into that, and starting in the digital space, and I got into that, and the celebrity aspect of it, the professional athlete, I got into that. I think now what I really love and I'm passionate about is assembling a team. Like, I have a team behind me right now, and they're sitting here, and they're working on what they need to work on, but I think being able to scale that. And when I say scale it, I don't mean financially. Like, oh, listen, we all want to make money. I'm not going to lie about that. We all want to be successful, but I think what's been fun is being able to connect with tens of thousands of people and change lives. And, you know, when you turn around and when you work with a woman who weighed almost 900 pounds and now she's tipping the scale at 360, or it's common for people to come on my monthly challenges and lose 50, 75, 100 pounds. It's common. Like, this is part of it. And just not by putting them on quick fad diets, not about beating the life out of them with training, by showing them that this is about consistency. This isn't about coming into the game and trying to go as intense as possible. Like Rocky, one of my favorite movies, Rocky, it's also set somewhat of a bad example because everyone thinks like, oh, you got to work till you're half dead. And I'm like, no, you just got to come in with what you have today. Be consistent. Try and get a little better. Try and do a little better. And when you fall off, and you will, like I just worked out an hour or so ago with one of the most photographed fitness models of the last 30 years. He's been on over 500 covers. His name's Frank Seppi. And, you know, Frank has cheat meals and he'll have his cocktails here and there. And he does, but he's
that's
pretty,
good to know.
No, but it's great to, and I'm the same way, but he's consistent with getting in here and doing what he needs to do. It's not always at the highest intensity, but he's always consistent. So I always like to say you're 1 hour away from being in a better mind frame. And I think it's really more about training up here than it is about training this.
Oh, absolutely. And there's sometimes the results we don't see, you know, the woman that has a regular job or man and going through that day after day after day. It's more the sort of celebrity transformations that get publicized and we tend to see out there. And on that note, we also see celebrities seemingly get in shape very quickly. It's probably longer than it appears, but you know, for a movie or whatever it might be. What's been the most challenging transformation or role you've had to get somebody ready for that's really tested you and your abilities?
It's actually a really funny story, and I will tell it. So it wasn't a name like Ryan Reynolds or Hugh Jackman. It was this guy, Drew Powell, who was getting ready for a role in Gotham, and he was playing this character named Solomon Grundy. And he walks in and Drew looks like this farm boy, country, strong, like kind of looks like a bit of a lineman. And he comes into the gym and the funny line, the joke always was, I would get on the phone with a lot of these actors and they would tell me who they, well, guys, give me an idea. What do you need to look like? And they're like, well, Brad Pitt Fight Club or Ryan Reynolds in this role. It was always like the same thing. And Drew came in and we connected on the phone and I looked at him and he said, we have 9 weeks. I looked at him, I said, Drew, please don't tell me Brad Pitt Fight Club. And we just started hysterically laughing because he weighed about 280 pounds at the time.
But
his role was different. It wasn't to get him, you know, Brad Pitt, you know, Fight Club ready. It was to get his physique to look strong, a little bit scary, and to get him out of a role. But Drew was someone that we didn't have a lot of experience in training. And then when he started training, he just got ridiculously strong. I think everyone is unique in their own way. I think everyone comes in, it's a different formula. It's a different nutrition plan. Yeah. It's a different amount of stress that you got to apply to them. You know, do you train them 3 days, 5 days, 6 days? Well, I would assume more is better. And that's not always the case. You got to look at, you know, their work schedule, their family schedule, how they're recovering, how they're digesting food, how stressed out are their bodies. And then you got to turn around and make a determination on what do they need to achieve, you know, the highest level, like what is the most we can get out of their potential in that period of time. I never like when, we have 2 weeks, we have 3 weeks, you're like rolling your eyes, like we're going to do the best that we can. Like we're just, but sometimes when you have some time and you have experience with working someone like Ryan Reynolds, one of the easiest people to work with, he's like a brother to me, but you know, we have time and you know, there's no tricks and it's like, okay, man, you know what to get back to. And let's just find a way to add a little bit more value to your training. Yeah. And your body's changed in the last year or two. So let's think about things a little bit differently. And he's very mature and we sit down and we have conversations and then we can kind of apply what we need to apply.
Yeah. So different chat. It sounds like everyone's different. We know that everyone responds differently, but I think everyone wants to know how we get in that Brad Pitt Fight Club kind of body shape, whatever it might be. And I want to delve into all of that.
People aren't going to want to hear this. I don't think it's that hard. It's like what you put into it's what you're going to get out of it. I think what happens is people come in and they want their cake and eat it too. And some of these actors that are serious, I love because I'm like, do A, B, C, and D, and they just go and do it if they only have a short amount of time. If you have a year, we need some balance. But for those of you coming to me who don't have a lot of time, then we can't have our cheat meals on Saturday or Sunday, and you can't go out for cocktails. Like we need to eliminate that for now, but in time we can put that back in.
All right. Well, before we get stuck into that, I want to do a little quick fire round that we like to do before we get into the conversation. So, and then we'll expand on all of this. So, Don, just first thing that comes into your mind, or most obvious one to you. Do you eat first or do you exercise first in the mornings, typically?
Eat first.
What's your number one way to boost your metabolism?
Resistance training.
Love it. What's your go-to dish for
a healthy
meal?
I'm sorry, back up on that. Resistance training with frequent eating. And I think I know it's quick fire, but I think people restrict calories. And when they restrict calories, their ability to burn calories diminishes. So feeding the machine and resistance training, I think, are really important.
Absolutely. What's your go-to dish for a healthy meal?
You know, I like some sort of grass-fed meat or, you know, protein, fish, turkey. Mm-hmm. I like sweet potato or jasmine rice and heavy vegetables. I believe in a plant-strong diet, so.
Nice. What's the key to getting a good night's sleep? Because we'll talk about sleep as well and its importance.
I think it's unwinding from, you know, blue light. I think it's, you know, putting the phones down at a specific time. I think it's eliminating caffeine at a certain time during the day. I normally like to tell people not to go past about 12, 1 o'clock just to be safe. I think if you're putting yourself into stimulating situations before sleep, that's going to affect you. If you're on, you know, your laptop, you know, that's going to affect you. So I think it's a whole system of things. I think, yes, there are supplements that you can take, but at the end of the day, it really is a holistic approach. Maybe, you know, can we eat late at night? Can we not eat? Like, I can maybe push the needle a little bit with eating and see that my readiness and my sleep doesn't really get affected the next day. It actually fuels me a little bit differently, but some people might be up all night. So I think it really depends on the individual, but following those rules are going to help you, at least a third of the way.
Okay. And last one, what's your biggest motivation for living a healthy, active life?
I love that what I put into this is what I'm going to get out of it. I just love feeling a certain way. I understand that we're not always going to progress every day, but if I can enable myself to feel a certain way 60 to 90 minutes later from training and in my nutrition allows me to feel a certain way, then I'm most of the way there now. I mean, those are things I can control. There's things in life we just can't control, unfortunately, but those I can control.
Yeah. All right. I love it. I want to pick up on the nutrition and metabolism side of things as well, because I've heard you talk about how you never sort of promote calorie restriction with your clients, or calorie deficit, should I say. Whereas for most of us, the idea of losing weight is that you've got to cut your calories. So talk to me a little bit more about that and your principle there.
Well, I think what starts happening with a lot of us is that we, you know, for those of you out there who are trying to lose some weight, yes, calorie restricted diets do work. Like, I want to go on record to say, I'd be very clear about that, but we have to be careful of how often we're going to that. And if you're restricting calories and your body's going to adapt to the amount of calories you're consuming, you're going to eat less, your energy level, calories are energy, your energy level is going to diminish. Maybe your rest and recovery is going to diminish a bit, and things in your body just start slowing down a bit. And I have had incredible results. And when I say incredible, I mean through my Challenger community, tens of thousands of people that we have, you know, at least got them to their total daily energy expenditure, which means the total amount of calories that they're burning during the day. So let me use you for an example. Like, so Caroline, let's say your TDE, your total daily energy expenditure, I'm going to make this number up, is 2000 calories, but you're consuming 1000 calories, but your goal is to lose weight and burn body fat. Like, well, you're already in a deficit. Like, we're not going to reduce calories to 800. Like, you're probably not feeling great. You're probably feeling discouraged. So what I'll do over, you know, let's say the next 10 weeks, let's say 10 weeks for simple math, is I might increase your calories by 100 calories a week. And that's really conservative, by the way. We could probably do 200 calories a week, you know, for 5 weeks. But I'll take my time over those next 5 to 10 weeks increasing your calories. And then, you know, what's going to happen is you might feel an increase in energy. Your clothes might start fitting you a little bit better. You might gain a pound or two of water. I'm not worried about that. But what we're slowly starting to do is getting that metabolism to pick up a little bit. And then we could start optimizing, you know, just activity, which is healthy. So if we get you to that TDEE, that total daily energy expenditure, we can keep you there for a period of time and train and sleep and feel good and have a happy outlook in life. Then if you need to, and you'll change body composition, but for some reason, if you need to go into a deficit, we can get you there. Now, what I find is a lot of people that I get to at that point, they're not in the need to get into a deficit, right? Because they're like, oh my God, I'm happy. My body composition is improving, et cetera, et cetera. But it really is contingent upon the individual. It really is like, okay, who am I working with here? Because it does work for people. But I think my goal at the end of the day is to get someone living an optimal lifestyle. And to get them to live an optimal lifestyle, you're not going to get that person into a deficit every day of the year. It shouldn't happen, and it's not going to happen. Yeah. For short-term goals, it's a tool that we can use.
I've been there before, you know, just almost that sense of achievement that you're bringing your calories down day after day after day, and then the results stop. And you get to that point, don't you, where the results stop. Suddenly your body's like, nope, we're not going to function in this realm anymore. We need more food. We need more energy and so forth.
I totally agree with you. And I get really worried about blood sugar levels, because I think most people will start out their day with like, oh, you know, I'm having some egg whites and some fruit. And when, you know, I had a salad with a piece of fish and I'm sitting there like scratching my head, like it's 3 o'clock already and you've had 600 calories. What's going to happen in the evening when you get home? Or what's going to happen in the evening when you go to that steakhouse for dinner for work? Like, you're going to grab the bread basket. Like, that one vodka you're going to have is going to hit you hard because there's nothing to absorb it. And this is a vicious cycle. So when people ask me about like the ketogenic diet or intermittent fasting, these are tools that can be used, but they got to be used by people, I feel like, that are pretty responsible. Like, they shouldn't be used by people who are using these tools to yo-yo out of, you know, poor habits.
That's so true. And you said as well in the quickfire, you said you eat first, and, you know, talking about intermittent fasting, which is, you know, a lot of people are doing right now. You know, the idea is that you'd exercise first, but you'll make sure you get your fuel in the morning. Is that regardless of when you're training?
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, I'm not going to say that I never throughout the year do fasted cardio. Like, if I do, you know, have a big cheat meal one day and I'm waking up and I'm feeling heavy the other day and I want to get some cardio in early, you know, I did it yesterday. I had a hockey trip to Nashville with some friends. We were having some fun. We were eating, and you know, I woke up yesterday and I went for a 3-mile run, and then I took a sauna, and then I detoxified through water, through vegetables, through organic proteins, through organic, you know, you know, sweet potato. Like, I had healthy things that went into my body, and that's what allows me to detox. I'm not going to sit there and starve my body all day when I have toxins in my body from things like alcohol or, you know, non-organic foods or high inflammatory foods. Like, we need good, you know, food is medicine. We need good food to be able to help us clean that out.
Absolutely. And I've seen that you have dinner for breakfast sometimes.
Sometimes. I actually did this morning. It sounds gross to most people. What did I have for breakfast? I had salmon.
Well, I saw you having Brussels sprouts for breakfast the other day. I've been stalking your Instagram like crazy here. I've been loving everything you're doing. But Brussels sprouts for breakfast. And I thought, one, I've just got a question, maybe the practicality and desirability of Brussels sprouts for breakfast for most people. But I guess it works.
I'm enjoying my food. I mean, I'm enjoying what I'm eating, especially when I have a meal like that, which has got my slow burning carbs, which has my vegetable as my protein. I feel energetic. I feel powerful. I need to make sure that the meals that I have allow me to be powerful, right? Like, is it high in micronutrients? Like, we always talk about macronutrients. I want to make sure that they're abundant in micronutrients. I want to make sure that they're balanced in macronutrients so I can go and I can perform throughout the day.
Well, let's start with macronutrients, actually, because that's another sort of common area of confusion. You know, people often say to me, well, what percentage of protein, carbohydrate, and fat should I be eating? And obviously, well, what are you trying to achieve? You know, how does your body respond and so forth? But what's your general rule of thumb for that when people ask you that question?
You know, I'm normally coming in with like a 35-35-30 approach, which I have to deviate from depending on the individual. Like, I've worked with people who just will handle fats a lot better. And, you know, carbs, as much as we try and slowly get them to, you know, have that level of metabolic flexibility, their bodies just don't do as well with it. So, you know, again, it depends. But I think when we're starting with the bulk of the individuals we work with here, 80%+ of those people are going to come in with 35% protein, 35% carbs, and 30% fat. Then what I have them do is I normally have them level off for about 2 weeks. I'm like, no cheat meals. Let's find out what's going on in your body. I want no alcohol. And within those 2 weeks, we could start assessing energy. We could start assessing sleep quality. We could start assessing how our clothes are fitting. I really don't care so much about the scale. I care about those other things. And if we start seeing something positive happen in there, I might just level off and say, listen, let's trust the process and hang in there. But at that point, I start learning about the individual. And that's why I'm able to work with a large group of people, because they're able to get that feedback from me daily.
That's interesting. And the timings of our different macros as well, you know, like carbohydrates can make a lot of us sleepy. And I think some of us have our carbohydrates probably at the wrong time of day for what we're trying to achieve, whether it be exercise, focus, concentration, and so forth, right?
I totally agree with you. But I also know some people who the carbohydrates will actually help with their sleep quality. And when we're assessing their sleep quality through something like Oura Ring, which, you know, the wearables are not 100% yet, but they can I like that color. Really, really nice.
Got the gold,
Really, really cool. It allows us to make like behavioral changes. Right. I'm not saying that, you know, it's spot on to the scent of what it's telling us. But if you're wearing something like this and you have, you know, a couple of weeks of eating a half hour later, an hour later, and you see sleep quality dropping, and then you pull off, you could start seeing whether those behaviors are changing your readings. That's when I like to use it, stuff like this.
Yeah. We're talking about trackers and the idea of metabolic flexibility. Yep. We both use Lumen and use that to track our metabolism. Firstly, let's establish what is metabolic flexibility? So I think it's a word that a lot of people throw around right now, but a lot of people don't really know what it means and why it's desirable.
Right. Metabolic flexibility is the ability to burn carbs and fats as your energy source. So I think what starts happening is we'll sit there and we'll get very carb dominant with or very fat dominant, and our body just adapts and it gets used to it. And I used to see this 2 decades ago. I'd never forget. I'm a very carb dominant person. Like, I handle carbs really well. My body looks much better with it. And but throughout the year, 6-7 months in, I would always feel like, man, like, I don't want to have carbs right now. I felt like my body was craving fats, and I would start, you know, consuming more fats and dropping my carbs. And I feel like brain function would be much better. I feel like energy level would be much better. And what I found out throughout the years was it really came down to the fact that my body was pretty smart and was recognizing that I needed something that wasn't consuming much of. So our two energy sources that we consume are fats and our carbohydrates. Protein is our muscle building block. So that's why I fell in love with something like Lumen, was because it took carb cycling, which is something I do utilize a lot. The thing I love about Lumen is it took all the guesswork out of it for me. So rather than carb cycling, which, you know, is pretty much where we're adjusting our carbs and fats and maybe even proteins according to our days. You know, there's so many different ways. I mean, I could go down a rabbit hole here right now, but what Lumen would do is it allowed me to breathe into this chamber. It would measure my carbon dioxide, and it would be able to tell me, you know, through my breath, it would be able to tell me whether I needed more of a carb dominant diet that day or a fat dominant diet. And what that really allowed me to do is it allowed me to really maintain my body composition, because I was already at a really low body fat. So I wasn't trying to lose weight. But for me to be able to maintain body composition after a shoot, that's something that I think is it's very difficult for a lot of athletes to be able to do, but at a high level of energy. So I was playing hockey and I felt great. And it was really a nice bonus for me. Took a lot of guesswork out of it.
It's so interesting, because listening to you, you sound very intuitive anyway about your body. Like, say, oh, my body needed, you know, less carbohydrate, more of this. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think for a lot of people, we're not, or most people aren't. You know, they need to be told, or they want something to give them that information and what to do with it. And I think trackers are, the information they're giving us is growing and growing in its complexity and how much we can learn about ourselves. And do you think this is the future of training and achieving the body that we want?
100%. Yeah. I think this is the magic pill now. I think this is going to take guesswork out of nutrition. I used to say it. I remember saying it when I was in college. Like, imagine if I knew exactly what I needed to eat at the time I needed to eat it at. It's getting smarter and smarter. And you can see it, because it's not, with Lumen, it's not just about aesthetics. It's about performance. And that's, we all, I don't care if you're someone who, you know, works at a desk 10 hours a day, you need to perform, right? So I think us giving our bodies the fuel it actually needs is going to change our moods. It's going to change our energy level. It's going to change our rest and recovery. It's going to change our body composition. I mean, I think this is the, I've been in this industry a long time. I know this is the way of the future right now.
Yeah. I know years ago when I was sort of following the low fat, low carb kind of style of diet and whatever. Sorry, no, low fat, not low carb. It was low fat diet at the time. And I'd have a very stodgy breakfast of cereals and oats and whatever. And a colleague said to me, like, aren't you tired after that? And I started to think about it. I was like, yeah, I kind of am actually. Yeah. And I started incorporating some more protein into it. And then I instantly felt better. And that was the feedback I needed to make those changes to my diet. But that was just me listening to my body and hearing a bit of advice. I think we've come so far from that. And going sort of cycling back to the macros, and you mentioned micronutrients as well. And that's interesting, because no one talks about micronutrients. We're not much anyway. You know, we're in this sexy world of wanting to lose weight and get shredded, but we're not always thinking of the goodness of those foods we put into our body. So what's the importance of the micronutrient for those that don't know?
That's a great question. I mean, I see it a lot with bodybuilders, right? Like like the chicken and rice diet. Like, you got to ask yourself, what nutrients are in there besides protein, carbs, and a little bit of fats? Are you getting your vitamins? Are you getting fiber? Are you getting minerals? Are you getting things that your body needs? The word I use is be resilient. You know, how do we fight off sickness and disease, and how does our body develop this level of resiliency? And it's something that's very, very important when I work with a lot of actors, because they're around a lot of people, they're on their road, they're changing time zones, they're under an incredible amount of stress. Their shoot days sometimes could be 16, 17, 18 hours because a camera breaks down, and, you know, it could be really emotional. So if they're sitting there eating dead food that just is not powerful, their body is not going to have that level of resiliency. Their skin is not going to have that glow that we all want. And I think that's, it's a strong word I've been using. I mean, even if you're going to have a protein shake, try and add something to it that's going to make it a bit more powerful. So you'll see me having people add greens powder or maca berry or a red. So I'll be cycling through different colors, yeah, allowing these people to consume things that are colorful. It's the same with our fruits and vegetables. Yeah. Are you just having broccoli every day? Because it's a good vegetable. Or are you sitting there trying to rotate through veggies? Something that I tell a lot of people do. When you go to restaurants and you have access to different type of vegetables or different types of proteins or carbs, do that. Don't do the same thing you've been having at home. Because, you know, I like to look at things and I like to challenge people within 7 days. Like, how much variety can we get in 7 days, right? And if we can do a good job of getting some variety, and then you're going to feel a difference in your body.
It's kind of similar to the idea of keeping your body guessing with your training and sort of changing that stimulus up, isn't it? You know, similar with your diet, just keep giving, you know, giving your body a whole range of those different micronutrients. And something that's become important for me with regard to micronutrients has been the inflammation, helping to reduce inflammation in my body through my diet as well. Because from years of the training, I've always put in the hard work, my joints, my tissues, they're vulnerable now. And I do get a lot of pain. I do like a hot water ginger lemon in the morning. Ginger obviously being a potent anti-inflammatory. What other foods can help us with our recovery and reducing inflammation? Because I think that should be just as important as fueling the workout in the first place.
100%. Well, protein really comes down to, it's a big part of our recovery. And actually carbohydrates from a glycogen replenishment standpoint, if your body is really, and I'll hear it sometimes, oh, my energy level's lower, I'm getting a little shaky, or I feel jittery. If I was low on carbohydrates yesterday and I'm going in for a training session today, my energy level can be heavily affected. But people aren't looking at it that way. They're like, oh my God, I'm getting in worse shape. I'm like, no, just look at your nutrition over the last couple of days, right? Like, so I think, again, protein is our muscle building block. Carbohydrate is a very important energy source. I think a fat is more of an energy source that's going to keep us satiated, strong for hormone function. But turning around and having an array of fruits and vegetables, and when you're pulling these nutrients into your body, these antioxidants, these polyphenols, all these things are important to allow. I always like to say, like, these are soldiers going in your body and attacking, you know, all that bad bacteria and all those bad cells and all that, maybe those toxins that were in your body throughout the weekend. We want those strong soldiers in our body fighting for us. But when you start putting a lot of bad in your body, it becomes a little bit of a war going on in there with the good and the bad. And that could become, these are just easy ways I like breaking it down, but that could become very tiring for the body. You know, I'm like with alcohol in general, I'm less concerned with whether it has sugar or whether it has fat in it, or I'm more concerned with what it's doing to our hormones and what it's doing to our sleep quality. Because if we're adding that, I can afford to have beers one day a month. Like, I'm not gonna put body fat on for that. But what it does to my sleep quality is a different story.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. Just people, it's interesting because a lot of people will tend to have a drink because they think it helps them sleep. This idea that, you know, it's relaxing and helps them unwind, but I think it actually impacts the quality of the sleep, doesn't it? And obviously we have wearables that measure the quality of our sleep as well. So many facets to alcohol.
So many facets. I mean, put an Oura Ring on and you'll see probably, you know, 1 to 2 drinks, you'll see an elevation in resting heart rate. And you'll see sleep quality begin to diminish. Like, things will begin to diminish. And that's something we have to pay close attention to. Like, sleep is, you know, one of the most important things for our body. When I'm sitting with someone and I'm ready to prep them for a movie, or I'm working with an athlete, my first real questions are like, how's your sleep and how's your digestion? Like certain like personal questions, like I got to ask them, but you know, what's, you know,
when do you,
like, how often do you actually go? Like, these are important things. And how's your nutrition plan? And we're getting into those, the training end of it. It's easy. I mean, come on, that's like, that's a program that I'm going to write that I almost always deviate off of, because curveballs are going to be thrown at us throughout the year. Someone's, you know, I'm working with an athlete and I laid out this really, you know, periodized program over 9 months because he's a golfer or she's a golfer. And the next thing you know, they get food poisoning on a plane coming in from Malaysia and they're laid up for 2 weeks. Like, the plan's going to change. So like, the plan is a template that I almost always deviate off of, but that the program's the easy one, the easy part.
Well, let's talk about training, because obviously that's another factor that impacts out and can help with our metabolism and getting us in the shape that we want. What sort of percentage or proportion do you think of boosting our metabolism is training? I don't know if I worded that the right way, but my thought being, we often say that diet's the most important when it comes to losing weight over and above training for a lot of people, you know, at an 80-20% split, whatever you might call it. But how important is the training part for getting us in the shape that we want to get in?
You know, I would first ask, like, how are we quantifying shape, right? Because you can look at someone who's competing on stage that looks healthy, but they're not necessarily
Brad Pitt Fight Club.
But again, I don't know, like, let's go in and put Brad Pitt through blood work and, you know, saliva testing and really dive in, like, how healthy is he? And I'm not saying he is or he isn't. I don't know him.
No.
But I think sometimes it's understanding, like, how are we quantifying success? Like, you know, I have a friend of mine who's 60 years old that is in incredible shape and, you know, doesn't have a great diet and just trains. And his blood's come back phenomenal and his body fat's lower than mine and his energy level's great all the time. And it's like, okay, he's a little bit of an anomaly. So, you know, I don't know, you know, how to mention, you know, training and to boost your metabolism. What I do know is I think the approach most people take is incorrect. Now, I love cardiovascular training. Like, I love aerobic and an anaerobic, anaerobics without oxygen, aerobics with oxygen. So aerobic would be like going for a run, or anaerobic would be like your intervals, or, you know, something really intense where we're allowing ourselves time to rest. My resistance training, I consider anaerobic because we're under, you know, a level of intensity and then we're allowing ourselves to recover. You need them both. You're going to actually burn more fat, statistically, from a science standpoint, you're going to burn more fat calories through resistance training than you are through cardio. So you need muscle to speed your metabolism up. That, though, most of the time when someone's like, I want to burn fat, I want to do cardio, I'm like, well, try and build muscle. Well, I don't want to get bigger. I'm like, well, tell that to Blake Lively. Tell that to Annie Hathaway. We just got Annie Hathaway ready for, I just got her ready for We Crashed, that show with her yoga instructor, Nikki. And it was a great combination of breath work, mobility work with Nikki's yoga and our strength and conditioning work. But we got Annie to where she had abs for this role, not through turning around and putting on an elliptical 7 days a week. Like, we got her strong. Like, she learned how to do full pushups after having, you know, her last child, Jack. She does full body. She'll hit a set of 10 on pushups. So we got her strong. So most people overlook the importance of strength and get stronger, resistance train, whether it's with bands, dumbbells, kettlebells, barbells, I don't care. Create tension in the body, put some muscle on, and you'll see that you're not going to get bigger. You're going to actually end up probably burning some body fat and being strong and being resilient, which is something that we want when we age.
It surprises me that we still have, and I say we, probably being mostly women, this fear of bulking up with strength training and that we've got to pound the pavements or the elliptical, like you say, in order to lose weight. How far have we got to go to kind of squash this theory? Because I still hear it from people.
I still hear from people. Listen, it's come a long way, right? I mean, I'm now, you know, looking at my challenges, you know, if we had 1,000 people on our challenge this month, I think 70% of them are female and they're all going in and they're resistance training and they're learning to listen to their body and ask good questions and they're progressing. So I think we're coming a long way. What I'd like to see is a lot of the fad diets get thrown out the window. Like, the fact that we always have to put a name behind a diet is like, I roll my eyes to it. Like, people are throwing names. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, they're making up names or dropping on me. And I'm like, oh, what do you mean? The high food quality diet of like metabolic flexibility and getting a nice balance of protein, carbs, and fats. I mean, the way I've been eating for 25 years, like, that has a name now. Like, we always have to name something. And I know for a fact, I'm not even saying it's a theory, that this is 100% mental. This is not 80% nutrition. This is not 20% training. This is 100% of how you approach this. If you're going to weigh yourself in, weigh yourself in, tuck the scale away, write the number down, leave it in your desk, and don't look at it again for another 3 to 6 months. And go in and pay attention to the principles that you need to do today to be successful. Right? It's like I tell businessmen all the time, like, you're not going to sit there becoming obsessed about making your first million or your first billion. You're going to do what you have to do today. You're going to start at the finish. You're going to, what do you have to do to get there? But then you're going to focus on today and being great at today. And that's what health and wellness is about. We got to focus on being great today. We need preparation, of course, but we got to understand that no one has ever been perfect with this. No one has ever progressed every day. No one has ever not messed up. And I think as soon as people realize that, they're going to relax a little bit more, get rid of these New Year's resolutions, and just turn around and say, you know what? After 2 weeks, if I have a cheat meal or if I'm going to go have a drink of alcohol, it's not over for me. It's part of the plan, and they're going to move on.
I was going to say, what is your sort of take on the cheat meal, if you like? and how, or the refeed, as some people, we give it a name, the refeed, as some people like to call it, and when it should be implemented.
I think they're two different things. I think refeeds are when we're adding in high quality food at a much more dominant level than what we were consuming. So if you're, you know, if you're eating brown rice and sweet potato one day and you're only consuming 200 grams of carbs, and then the next day you have 400 grams and that was planned, it's a very simple way of putting it, that's a refeed. I think a cheat meal is just going in and, you know, having whatever you want. And you know, listen, I think if your body is in a good place, if your mind's in a good place, and you can go and have this and wake up the next day and not feel terrible about yourself, then I think it was deserved. But I think if you're someone that's really trying to make a lifestyle change, and I think you could have it at some point, but it's important in the beginning for us to assess what we are applying to that individual. And if you're always throwing curveballs, we're never really going to know how to make those adjustments. So I would just urge someone to say, you know, have it when you need it, save it for a special occasion. But that random Tuesday night when you're home and you and your partner want to open up, you know, a bottle of wine and go through it, that's probably not in the cards for me, like really ever. Like I'll save it for an occasion, like when I was in Nashville last weekend, or I'll be in Germany speaking mid-June. My friends are setting up a beer garden already. We're going to go have a few beers. That might be the next time I drink. But nice. Like, I pick my battles. It'll be fun. I've never been to Germany. I'm psyched.
Oh, yeah. The beer festivals there are pretty awesome, actually. The beer is taller than your table. You know, I think we, going back to what you said about, you know, these names of diets, I think we need to have something that we feel we're following a lot of the time. If someone says, well, I'm just on the balanced eating diet, it's, you know, I think people like to say, I'm following this. I'm doing keto. I'm doing intermittent fasting. Carnivore diet seems to be thrown around a lot now as well. But if you were to describe your eating in a day, not every food you eat, but sort of what it looks like, how often are you eating? You know, and we don't, not giving this a name, a pretty name, but you know, what is that general balanced eating looking like?
I'm probably eating around every 3 hours. Like, and I understand there's a certain amount of putting the micronutrients aside because that becomes easy. I'm really rotating the foods I'm consuming, but you know, it's simple math, right? If I know there's a certain amount of macronutrients I need to have during the day, and I'm going to break this down really simply. Let's say it's 300 grams of carbs, 200 grams of protein, and 100 grams of fat. Like, just do the math on that. If I'm eating five times a day, that'll be 60 grams of carbs. That'll be 40 grams of protein, and that'll be 20 grams of fat per meal. Now, if I go above or below that per meal, it's fine. We're going to get into that range. Yeah. I can make up for it a little bit each meal, but it's simple math. Like, I think the mistake people make is with, if they are measuring macros and they're just, you know, eating to eat, and they're like, all right, well, I'm just going to consume this meal, and you know, it's, and they're way over. You know, maybe they had too much, and the next thing you know, now they got to wait 5 hours because they're not hungry, and then you're making up for it on the back end. That's why we kind of want to space it out. I really believe it's more about maintaining blood sugar level. It's more about staying satiated and making sure that we're not overwhelming ourselves in any meal where we're like, oh my God, like I'm going to be 40 grams of protein short. I got to have 100 grams of protein this meal. You're like, come on, it's just too much. Like I wouldn't do that to yourself.
Yeah. It's learning the pattern of your eating as opposed to measuring every ounce or gram or whatever it is, because that's not practical for a lot of people.
It's not. And I don't do that all year long either. Like, to be honest, like right now I'm eating clean. I understand what my portions need to look at, but I'm not really measuring at the second. And you know, I'll tell people, like, you can have, you know, your a palm size of protein, or, you know, a cup tan of your carbohydrate, or maybe, you know, two fists of vegetables for men, maybe one for women, or, you know, your fat sources can be deep.
That's a good guide.
Or, it's just a good guide to get you into that range. But I think what becomes discouraging are those people who haven't actually been eating enough. And then they're like, well, I can't eat breakfast. I'm not hungry. I'm like, well, let's start training yourself. Can you wake up and have an egg? Yeah, I can have an egg. Well, can you have a couple berries with it? Yes, that's it. That's it. Is that enough?
Yeah.
It's enough for you now. Let's start there. Let's spend a week. Let's get your body to adjust. And then we can stop trying to find out what's perfect. Let's try and find out what's perfect for you right now. And then we'll start there.
What's your opinion on snacking though as well? Because I've always been a snacker. My mum used to say to me when I was a kid, she was like, little pickers have bigger knickers. And I used to just
think to her. I like that. It's cute. She sounded so
which awesome. Is a funny one, because I was always grazing. And then I sort of learned, you got to keep the metabolism burning. But I became a bit of a snacker. But do snacks have a place, you know, for those of us that like a little, rather than a meal all the time, like a bit of a snack?
Well, you're not having a problem with it. So I'd say for you, you're, I think, again, you got to look at the individual. If someone's not fighting with their body composition, snacking can become really dangerous, because if you're sitting there and you're snacking on almonds all day, almonds are healthy, but they're also high in fat. And if you have two cups of almonds, for someone your size, you're probably going to be over going over your fat limit with all the additional fat that you're having through your protein sources or whatever it is it might be. So I think it is something that can become really dangerous. I try and promote meals. I want someone to stay satiated through meals. I want to make sure that our food that we're consuming is powerful. And sometimes snacks are very dominant in one area. Like I just said, the nuts might be, the almonds might be primarily fat. People say, well, they're high in protein. Not that high in protein. It's high
mostly
in fat.
Right?
It's mostly fat. Or if we're having berries, like, okay, well, that's just carbs and sugar, like, even though it doesn't have a lot of them. So I like balanced nutrition plans, but I also understand that we got to start somewhere. And if someone's turning around to me and they're like, oh, well, I haven't eaten until 1 o'clock any day over the last 5 years, then yeah, we're going to get them having some snacks in the beginning because that's going to be small and that's going to allow them to build some confidence and get their metabolism moving a bit.
Yeah, it's very individual. And just the last topic really is all of this advice on, you know, our training and our nutrition is fantastic. But if our mind, if we're not mentally motivated to do any of this, it's almost irrelevant, isn't it? It's almost like you've got to want to do this and want to make the changes in the first place. How do you tackle that sort of first step, if you like, in making somebody have a reason, a why, or a want to actually make these changes, as small as they might be?
Well, first off, I think if someone's struggling, in the line I've had used with me is, Don, I just want it. Like you want to do this stuff. I don't want to do this stuff. And I think, again, like we said, it's 100% mental. And you know, allowing someone to be successful, allowing applying or assigning a minimalistic approach to that individual or my client might be something that I do a lot. And again, it's not going in with what's the best. Now, if it's an actor coming to me and they're like, I have a month to get ready, well, you're going to do what I tell you to do because this is about your work.
You're going to be motivated.
Yeah, you got to be motivated to do it. So I'm going to push them in one aspect. But for someone out there that wants to want it, if they're turning to me and they're saying, oh my God, I lose motivation at the 26th minute, then I probably have them going for 23 minutes. I'll always cut them a little bit short. No, seriously, I'll always cut them a little bit short.
Yeah.
And I think one of the deadly sins of fitness that most people always do is that they're in the gym one day and they're feeling great. And they're like, I'm just going to keep going. Like, I'm just going to throw in frivolous nonsense. It's just going to tire me out. And in the next 2 days, they're wiped or they're shot. Like, we just got to, like, sometimes when you're done, you're done. Move on. Don't think that just by adding more stress and more training that it's going to get you better. Like, if you have a program and someone wrote something out to you and you feel like it's easy, which that's another conversation, then go harder. Like, yeah, and there's no such thing as an easy program. Like, I could give someone one exercise and it depends on intensity. What are you coming in there at? So I just think we got to understand when you're going into this, this is the advice I'll give everyone, know who you are. If you're someone at the 30-minute mark that's losing motivation, find a 20-minute program. Is that enough? Yes, it is. If you're someone that hasn't gotten off the couch one day last year, I would literally give you a 5 to 10-minute program. Well, is that enough? Absolutely. No, seriously, it is enough because we're going to get them sweating. We're going to get them moving. We're hopefully going to put on a little bit of muscle. We're going to change body composition. Their energy level is going to increase. Their sleep quality is going to improve. They're going to want to move more. They might make better nutritional decisions, even if it's one meal a day. It's this domino effect. And then we'll assign more in time. But again, people are listening to influencers and they're listening to people that are like, this is what works for me. And yes, sometimes it'll work for others. But if you're struggling to want it, start with a minimalistic approach and then build confidence. Mm,
I love that because you're left with a sense of achievement other than a sense of, you know, rather than a sense of failure or not quite doing enough. And I think we get caught up on, you've got to spend an hour in the gym. You do 3 sets of everything, you know, these kind of like standard numbers, but this personalized approach sounds like the way to get success and the reason you've had so much success as well with the clients and everyone you work with. And Don, I could talk to you for ages, but I will let you go. And I just finished by saying, you know, tell us what you've got next and where people can find you and your programs.
Well, oh God. So thank you. DonSaladino.com kind of spells everything out. You can check me out on Instagram, Don Saladino, or all my social media handles are Don Saladino. We've got some cool speaking engagements going on this summer. I rented an island in Mexico. I'm off of Puerto Vallarta that I'm hosting my own retreat where I invited 80 people in. It's sold out already, which is fantastic, but I'm hosting my own retreat where we took over the whole island. And we'll be speaking in Germany mid-June. We'll be speaking in Rhode Island, Orlando. We got some cool trips coming up where I'm doing some business talks to a lot of young trainers. Otherwise, come join a challenge. It's fantastic. It's a great community. It launches every month. And If anyone has questions, they can DM me.
Great. Fantastic. Keep crushing it. It was an absolute pleasure to meet you and talk to you. Thank you so much.
You're a rock star. Thanks so much.
And thank you for listening to the Health Hack Podcast with myself, Caroline Pierce. Each episode provides a healthy dose of health hacking. So make sure to hit subscribe or follow so you don't miss out. I would be truly grateful if you could rate and review wherever you're listening to help others seeking inspiring stories and health hacks to find us. The Health Hack is an Insanity Podcast production and powered by Lumen. See you next time.